This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, here we are. We are live. It is Wednesday morning. It is the 7th of March. It's not my favorite month of the year, March. For some bizarre reason, I've got this thing in my head about it. But this year, I've decided I'm not going to pay any attention to that thing in my head about it.
What is it?
I don't know. I mean, I've always had this idea that somehow March is just I don't know. It's in the category of, it's kind of like some people don't like the number 13. I don't like March, but I'm not gonna pay attention to that superstitious bullshit.
Oh,
move on. It's like any other month. It's just a random demarcation based on the moon.
I thought maybe you thought it was the Tuesday of all months. Well, it's neither here nor there. March is neither here nor there.
It kind of, if you break the year down, I suppose it is a Tuesday.
No, guys.
What?
Isn't March when we begin with all those public holidays that are coming our way? Because
yes,
Human Rights Day, and then Easter comes around. Or is Easter, is the Easter first in April?
No, Easter
is at the end of March. The 30th of March, I think, is Good Friday.
Yes. March, April, as far as public holidays go, that is like the orgasm of our public holiday session. That's the climax.
And I still have yet
there's
to
so,
try.
There's just so many of them all packed into one.
I'm trying to figure it out now. If I look at the calendar, right, we've got Easter at the end of this month. So let's just have a look. We've also got that Human Rights Day somewhere.
So that's the 21st of March.
Yeah, if you're wondering
and
where...
And that's smack bang in the middle.
If you're wondering where Ben is, by the way, he is not in today. All right, so the 21st of March is a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is holiday. So that means that not next week, but the week after is like split into two.
But that screws us over because we aren't getting anything extra out of it.
Well, you get
like a Friday.
Yeah, you get
Thursday.
That day in the middle. All right. And then it's Easter from, what is it? The Friday the 30th until the Monday the 2nd.
Sure.
Because then it goes into May. And then remember, May the 1st is also a holiday.
Then there's also April 27th in there.
Ah, sorry.
No, we still have April. We still have April.
So the whole of April. Yes, that's right. And then April 27th is Freedom Day. That's also a holiday. That's a Friday, which gives us a nice long weekend. Because Monday the 30th, who's going to go to work? And then Tuesday the 1st is a holiday. So that means a five-day weekend, the beginning of May, end of April.
Woo! Huh? Five-day weekend. Mm. We're going to be so spoiled.
How do you like that? So there we go. There's some stuff to look forward to. All right. If you felt bad about... about what happens in March or April or May, get ready, everybody. It's going to be nice. All right. First of all, I've got to give Sia his special present this morning. He brought all of us presents. He brought me a Darth Vader luggage tag. He brought Palesa a lovely bag. Brought Jane something. He brought... you brought Jane... beads. Where are they from? Bali or from Hong Kong?
The beaded necklace from Bali, and then the little bag was from Hong Kong.
Did Mabale get anything?
Mabale did as well.
I thought you were about to say no, she didn't. It's like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have brought this up.
I don't want to be awkward now.
That would be so weird.
Everyone in the office got a little something.
Okay, so it's your turn for a present. So I've given you this present. Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da. It is a pair of Cliff Central unwired earphones, which are selling like hotcakes, I'm happy to say, all over the place. People are buying them up because they are fantastic.
Can quality I officially good. Open them now?
Go on. Do your unboxing. That's what they call it, right?
Sure.
You get on the internet and you see unboxing videos. This is what we've got.
Look, I really was missing out on all of the fun last week. And, you know, while I was on holiday, I got onto Twitter every now and then and saw like, oh, someone else has a box and someone else has a pair. I was like, well
we got some we got some really good packaging. Earphones themselves are terrific. You can use them for calls. You can use them for listening to music, to podcasts, to whatever you want to. And
that's awesome.
It's the obvious accompaniment to what we're doing in terms of content here on cliffcentral.com, because a lot of people say to us, well, the best thing about listening to podcasts is I can do them in many different places. Mm. I can listen to podcasts when I'm taking a run. I can listen to them when I'm, I don't know, buying some food at the shops and I don't want to talk to people.
Yeah.
I can get them while I'm moving around my house doing various things. And I can leave my phone lying around and I can still listen to whatever's going on.
Yeah, that's what I want to know about the radius, how far away you can get from your device.
It says on the box, I think it's something like 12 meters or something. Yeah, anyway.
I already had a couple of people trying to get their grabby paws on mine and I accused them of being drunk. And then what? I directed them to cliffcentral.com to get their own pay. So
you need to do. Yeah, there we go. So take a look because it's got 10 hours of battery life, a built-in microphone, 3-button controller, ergonomic design. It won't fall out of your ears when you're exercising. Plus, it's got brilliant sound and build quality. The Cliff Central unwired earphones are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts, and they only cost 550 Rand. Go and compare them to other products. We're more than happy for you to do that and for you to figure out for yourself if they're good value or not. The pricing, we think, is very reasonable. And they are there for any smartphone, any laptop, any tablet, or listening to podcasts, music, videos, even phone calls.
I like this.
Go to cliffcentral.com for more. Nice. Mm-hmm. And it's got a little pouch. You put everything away. So it's all very nicely.
10 meters, that's how far you can get away from your device. That's a long way away.
That is.
Okay, sorry people, I'm not ignoring you at the office today. I'm just testing these out.
Right. Okay, so there we go. If you want your pair, go over to cliffcentral.com today. Jeez, did you hear the story yesterday? I know I'm preempting the news here in some ways, but this is horrific. Some athlete, a friend of mine posted this on her Facebook page this morning. Did you hear the story? Do you know what I'm about to tell you?
Is this one out of Durban?
Yes. They say the robbers almost cut her legs off or something?
To him. He was out for a run. He's an athlete. He was doing what he does every other day. These guys pulled over in a car. They tried to mug him or they threatened him or whatever. It just sounds so horrendous because what happened next was that they pulled out a chainsaw and they wanted to cut his legs off.
Mm-mm.
Oh, now, my goodness.
I have to ask you, like, what kind of a life have you had where you want to take off someone's legs? Sweet Jesus. So let me tell you the whole story, right? Mhlengi Gwala is a South African triathlete. He was attacked by chainsaw-wielding thugs, and he crawled to safety. I don't even know what to say about this. Tuesday afternoon, he managed to drag himself away when he was attacked by chainsaw-wielding criminals while training in Durban on Tuesday. 27-year-old Chesterfield athlete had been hauled into a bushy area near the University of KZN, where three men allegedly attempted to hack his leg with a chainsaw.
So, I mean, you're a triathlete, and there are people wielding a chainsaw trying to hack off one of your legs. This sounds personal.
Well, it has to be some sort of hit, right?
They tried to cut off both his legs with a chainsaw. The blade was too blunt, so they only got halfway through one and then started on the other. This is a guy who could have had an incredible career as an athlete. He's been part of a program for 4 years. He's represented South Africa twice in international triathlons. And the sporting fraternity have been shocked by this news, and not just them, but I think the whole lot of us. It was unclear why the attackers suddenly stopped the attack and left. I don't know what this is. I mean, the guy's under medical care now, but I do not understand. And then yesterday there was this gun thing that happened. There was this gunman, this heist almost, that happened at Multi Choices offices in Oak Street in Randburg. Mm. Guys shooting at each other. I mean, there was some woman filming it from the window, and you see like a guy shooting at another human being with an automatic weapon. You know, I sometimes really despair about us. I'm not to say that other countries don't have violent shit like this happening, and we've heard of school shootings just in the last 2 weeks in America, which is equally disturbing. But a chainsaw-wielding attacker, that just to me is a very, very strange situation. And like Mabali says, there must be something personal going on there. For someone to actually want to take you out with a chainsaw, there's got to be something that we're not aware of.
Because I highly doubt that they're just random guys who drive around and they're looking for someone to pickpocket with chainsaws.
With chainsaws. It would be very odd, right?
Exactly. Mm. They knew that this guy is an athlete. This is someone they know personally.
Yeah.
Or was sent by someone they know personally.
No, it's horrendous. Anyway, I mean, I'm thinking about the victims in this case. And of course, the one guy who was shot in the Randburg robbery yesterday, he was one of the suspects.
Mm.
So good. But we do need to clear out some of the filth in society. We've got 50-odd% unemployment rate for young people in this country. So a lot of them are going to become criminals. And if you do go and become a criminal, then really we should do what Becky Taylor said and just suspend some of your human rights along the way. And I can't believe I would say that. It's totally against what I think when I'm lucid. But in an emotional moment, I'm like, yeah, okay, take away their rights. It's fine.
Well, if somebody comes into your life and takes away one of your human rights, why do the rest of us still need to debate and say, oh, but you know, the perpetrator is a human too? No, but you drew your line in the sand. You decided that you were going to go out there and rape or kill or hurt another person.
Mm-hmm.
Why must the rest of us still afford you the same responsibilities that we all have? Or sorry, the same rights that we all have. You've rescinded your human rights card.
Right. I mean, I can't disagree with that in an emotional moment. Of course, lawyers will tell you, and people who are much more sober about this and aren't emotionally attached to it will say to you, well, you know, what's then to prevent them taking away your rights in a moment of madness, which has happened before.
It already happens.
In regimes all over the world. Well, it's going to happen to you if the criminal gets hold of you, right?
It happens when the criminal gets hold of you.
Right. Anyway, I didn't want to wake you up this morning with shitty news, but these things are just so disturbing. They need discussion, you know?
Mm.
Sure. Anyway.
What a week of these crazy, crazy things in the news.
It's mad. I heard you guys talking about people not washing their hands after going to the bathroom. For guys, it's actually a water-saving technique in Cape Town. Ugh. To wash your hands or not wash your hands after you take a piss. It's easier and more efficient to just wash your penis every morning.
I thought we were all in agreement that that's what you're all doing anyway.
You should do both if you ask me. Certain stuff should not be thrown aside in the interest of saving water. You should always wash your hands. Come on.
And always wash your penis. Okay.
Otherwise, welcome listeriosis. Oh, we've got some big interviews this next couple of weeks. Big ones.
Okay.
Big, big, big. I can only give you two. I can't talk to you about the third one until
no,
it happens.
This is not
fair. Okay.
Now the two of you are like...
Oh, at first I was like, oh, yeah, I know, I put these people...
No, sorry. This all right. One next give us one.
All right.
Because now you're leaving us out of it.
I'll give you one. Sky News' Jeremy Thompson. We've got on the system ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I had a long chat with him for about an hour and 15 minutes. He is fantastic.
I just got flustered again thinking about...
I can't give you the others. I really can't.
Yeah,
can't. All right, one more.
No.
One more.
How many do you have in total?
Three big interviews.
Like, these are major. If Gareth and I are both excited, you should.
Yeah, so, so Jeremy Thompson's out here to promote his book, and he comes to South Africa all the time. Remember, he was here during the 90s, so he traveled around with President Mandela. He was at CODESA. He was in Bishu when that massacre took place. He covered news stories for Sky News at the time, and he was their South African correspondent. So he was at the center of what happened in this country and how things started to change and what the transition was like. I mean, fascinating stories, first-hand accounts, and some behind-the-scenes, a very moving behind-the-scenes accounts of what happened when he was covering South Africa. Then I did an interview with Jordan Peterson, who is probably the most renowned Canadian academic when it comes to speaking about clinical psychology, human behavior, politics, philosophy. The guy covers a huge swathe of various topics in much of his work. He's primarily interested, though, in helping young people to find meaning in their lives. And there are a lot of people in the world, not just young people, but people of all ages who want to find meaning in their lives. This is his thing. This is what he wants us to pay attention to. He's written a book called 12 Rules for Life. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to him, and that'll be ready for you sometime soon as well. Very big name. Mm-hmm. And the third one is such a big name, I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Okay.
But you'll know.
Do you want to give a little... No, you can't give a clue.
Can't give any clues at all, but just stand by. It's going to be great.
We can...
Don't say a thing.
So Jeremy Thompson is from England.
Yeah. No, shut up. Oh, okay, I'm done. You're not allowed to do this.
Nothing. Okay.
All right.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we've got to move on. I will say, though, that you've got to pay attention. The next couple of weeks are going to be pretty insane. We've got great guests. Yeah, I love it when we've got brilliant people.
Mm-hmm. We can speak about it on Monday, right?
No.
Okay, never. Didn't hear
just
it from
hang,
me.
Just hang.
I'll be quiet.
You'll hear it soon enough. Who would be on your top five people that you'd love to meet in the world? I mean, I know with Sia, Oprah's right up. Oprah's 1, 2, 3, and 4. And maybe 5 would be, I don't know.
Because she's the Holy Trinity, right?
Yeah.
So 1, 2, and 3. There's still space for 2.
Who would you have, Mubs, if you could interview or meet anybody? Let's just say meet. And you had an hour with them. I mean, you always wanted to meet Common, and you got that off your bucket list.
I did indeed.
You got to sit with him for a few minutes and speak to him. And we were all excited, and then you fucked up the recording.
Yeah, wow. Nobody was more disappointed than I.
But that was a bucket list thing.
Well, it was a, what's the word when you're in lust with someone?
It's a fantasy.
Yeah, it was a fantasy thing.
So who else would you have on your list?
I mean, for me, Barack and Michelle Obama still rate highly on that list. You know, just to sit down with them over a lunch and pick their brains and,
hell yeah,
you know, ask them the kind of questions that, they couldn't answer before while still in the White House, that kind of thing.
Right, I'm with you.
Which is why, you know, again, I suppose it's important to watch this Netflix special with, what's his name? Santa Claus guy?
David Letterman.
David Letterman, who's interviewed
Santa
Obama.
Santa Claus guy.
Yeah, the Obamas, a lunch with them would be interesting,
okay, so
I
that's
think.
3, you've still got 2 left. Mm. Who else would you put in there?
Give me a second.
All right, Sia, in the meantime, you got any?
You know, for me, apart from, I think my meeting list and my interview list would be different, because I think the people who I'd like to meet, you can probably just put that list together. But my interview list has always been very interesting, because I don't think this is what you'd expect from me. But for example, I'd still like to talk to Joseph Fritzl. I want to know what goes into your head to the point where you think it's normal to keep your daughter in a dungeon in your own home in the basement, and you have kids with her and you keep her down there for years. I'd also like to talk to, his name is Hansen, his surname is Hansen. He is the dude who shot people in Norway in 2011. Do you remember that story?
Oh my God, you want to talk to him? What an odd choice.
But I mean, to the point, he was a mastermind in planning this.
Sure.
Because the 77 people that he shot were on an island in Norway. Right. And he made sure to plant this bomb in the city so that the police would be distracted and go inside the city. And so he knew that he would take a speedboat to this island and there'd no one there. And to go through over 70 people and shooting them,
so
and
you
killing
you,
them.
You want to get into the minds of
absolutely
people who otherwise seem like they have lost it completely.
Yes. David Miscavige, the head of Scientology.
Oh, that's an interesting dude.
All of these warped characters in society, those are the people who I'd love to talk to.
All right, those are good choices.
Yeah, wouldn't make for a pleasant lunch. Please pass the beans, David Miscavige, and tell me how you've...
Sure. you've got to separate this out. What I was talking about is just kind of your bucket list people. I mean, I always wanted to meet and interview John Cleese, and I got to do it 2 or 3 times, which was a real... As a kid, I used to think he was the funniest man in the world. I still, in some ways, do. And when I met him and we sat down and started talking, I thought I'd ask him all about comedy and I'd ask him all about movies and I'd ask him all about the Monty Python crew and everything else. And we ended up talking about politics and, you know, Hillary and Donald at that stage and just some really, really cool things that I didn't think I'd have a conversation with one of the people I've always wanted to meet about. It was great. So this interview that's coming up is bucket list stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've always looked up to this person in terms of them being a cultural icon, in terms of generationally what they represent kind of for people of my age and the things that they did. And I can't give too much more than that, but it's going to be exciting. And I know how irritating it is when you get teased like this, but has to be done. I have to give you something to look forward to. That's what we do. And wow. Man, do we have a lot to look forward to in the next while. All right. Oh, I've been subliminally forcing everyone to listen to Cliff Central in my lab at work. I'm pleased to say we have a new convert to the real way of life that is Cliff Central. Please welcome Marco. Hey, Marco. That's from Michelle. Working both long weekends, so that means I get a 7-day weekend when everybody else is at work. Hashtag winning.
A 7-day weekend.
Nice. March is the best, as this is the month where all the motorsport starts again, says Oki. Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Sheikh Mohammed, the ruler of Dubai, Julius Malema, and Ferdinand Piëch. That's from Vaughan. I don't know who the last dude is. Ferdinand Piëch or Piëch. Julius Malema. Yeah, Julius is fun to talk to, I won't lie. He's a cool guy to talk to. I'm very concerned about some of the things he's doing at the moment. It seems that the more attention he gets, the more attention he wants. You know, it's like those jet engines. The more air they take in, the faster they go. And the faster they go, the more air they take in. And, and then it kind of propels itself. And he seems to be on a bit of a tear at the moment.
Ferdinand is an Australian business magnate.
Oh, okay.
And at a point, he was a chairman of the VW Group.
And Vaughan, the others, I can't say I disagree with you. I mean, Steve Jobs, he's dead, though, so... Obviously, that's not going to happen. Elon Musk is absolutely on the list. I mean, he's one of those people we've got to eventually get to. And I won't give up because he's changing the world. This guy has dreams, big dreams, and he's making them reality every day. All right, lots to talk about. We've got to get to news. The five things you need to know today. Here's Mabali Moloi with all the things that you can get to the water cooler with, get to the coffee machine with this morning and say to everybody, oh, I know about that. Without having to feel like you left out.
Well, Gareth, the shooting incident that took place in Randburg yesterday actually involved a gang of around 20 criminals.
Jesus. What?
And Randburg police managed to recover three vehicles that were used in an attempted cash-in-transit heist.
Yeah.
One of the suspects was shot dead by security guards in a gunfire exchange after the group tried to hijack a Quain security van. So yeah, that's the latest on that story. And then Home Affairs immigration officials also arrested four senior members at ANN7. It's understood that the group was handcuffed after they were caught without proper documentation to work in South Africa.
Well, I heard from someone who was an insider at ANN7 and who was quite close to the whole thing when it started, that these Indian production people were very qualified. They were smart professionals from India, but what happened was that they were brought over here by the Guptas to help them set up ANN7, and then their passports were taken away, so they couldn't leave, and they were basically fed in the canteen at ANN7, three meals a day, and they were given accommodation on site, so they could never leave, and they were watched 24/7, so they were basically slaves, and I've heard horrible things about what went on with the Indian employees that worked at Sahara and at ANN7 under the Guptas. So this whole discussion around whether or not they had citizenship, and Malusi Gigaba is clearly lying, because Malusi Gigaba was captured. He was the main dude under the Public Enterprises Ministry who made it possible for the Guptas to grab all these state-owned enterprises and their various functions and make them the primary tender beneficiaries of those different state businesses. So I've heard horrible things. I can't say that they're true because I have no proof for them other than a very credible source inside ANN7 who no longer worked. I think they left there in probably the first year because they couldn't tolerate this sort of thing.
Mm.
Quite principled people who thought that this would genuinely be an alternative news source and saw very quickly that it was a propaganda tool.
Yeah, I heard from a different person who used to work at ANN7 also in the beginning that everyone was treated terribly. Everyone. Well, all staff.
Well, we know from the wedding in Sun City, for example, that they wouldn't have black people serve the food. This is the Guptas who were only too happy to take money from a black person in Jacob Zuma, and who were only too happy to rip off a country where a lot of black people live. But clearly not, you know, blacks are not good enough to serve us at the table at our wedding.
Yeah, same script, different cast. Anyway, some of the journalists spoke to the media yesterday, and they say that it all began when employees were called to an urgent staff meeting, and then immigration officers stormed their Midrand offices earlier in the morning. They all had their IDs checked and their documentation checked, and then four senior officials were then arrested by the Home Affairs officials. And the spokesperson, Michael Mechwete, saying that the department was well within the law to inspect companies alleged to be contravening the Immigration Act because allegedly people brought into question whether or not Home Affairs as a department are victimizing, you know, groups or companies, and their spokesperson coming through and saying no, but it is well within our rights to do that. We are allowed to just storm into your place of work and to demand to check things where we feel it is, you know, warranted to do so.
Yeah, well, the big story is, did the Guptas have South African citizenship? Because if they did, that was specially arranged by Malusi when he was Home Affairs Minister, and he's lying to us, which for me is just another reason why he shouldn't be in this cabinet. They should throw him out with the rubbish.
And he is back at Home Affairs.
I know.
And then at least 18 people were killed by a magnitude 6.7 earthquake that has struck Papua New Guinea's mountainous southern highlands. This happened earlier this morning, actually. The tremor shortly after midnight local time struck and it flattened villages and caused landslides last week Monday. That one killed at least 55 people. The second quake that happened just a few hours ago, claiming the lives of 18 people.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Earthquake. All right. Glad we don't have those.
And then lastly, it has been reported that the Indian tax authorities have raided Gupta properties in India.
Yep.
As part of an investigation into the illicit cash flows into that country. Indian media reporting that several of the controversial family's properties, including their home in their hometown, was being searched. The Hawks confirmed earlier in February that AJ is considered a fugitive from justice. So officials from India's Income Tax and Economic Offence Branch started their searches earlier yesterday morning. They seized numerous documentation, and it was reported that the Gupta brothers are suspected of bringing the proceeds of crime, illicit funds, into India.
Hmm. Mm.
The house of cards is starting to come down.
Yeah, but I wonder how much of this will actually lead to us getting our money back. Because I don't really give a shit whether a Gupta lies in jail or not, here or any other country. I think we should get our money back. This is South African taxpayers' money that could go to improving our own infrastructure, that should have been about us looking after ourselves. And they've pocketed it, and they've built themselves mansions in Dubai and bought jets and done all kinds of other stuff with that money. It should be ours.
And now everyone is looking for them. The Hawks are looking for them. Indian authorities are conducting searches. Canada just want their jet back.
Stupid Canada. Really?
Wow.
All right. Well, that's all you need to know this morning. If anyone asks you about those things, now you could say, oh, I know about that. And let me tell you something about it. Ben is on the line. We're going to check in with him quickly to get a sports wrap. He is in Fan Court, or he's leaving for Fan Court today. I can't remember which one it is. Phone or Skype, yeah? Phone. All right, then it must be that Ben is actually already there. Let me see if we can get hold of him. Hey, Ben, what's happening, man? Ben?
Good, hi.
Yeah,
hi.
Good. Are you there yet, or have you not left yet?
I am at gate C12 at Otambo International Airport.
Good. How's the airport this morning? Busy?
Yeah, quite orderly, but as I was told at the desk, people who fly to East London are unruly.
People who fly to East London are unruly?
Yeah, I just checked in now. The woman looked so flustered. I said, what's wrong? She goes, oh, these people who fly to East London, they're so unruly.
Wow.
She actually used the word unruly in 2018.
I didn't know that about East London people. That's fascinating. I mean, of all the places in the country for unruly people to go, I didn't know it would be East London.
I know. How absolutely embarrassing for East London people, or people who do business in East London, either way.
Well, don't go to East London if you don't want to be around unruly people. But you're not flying to East London. You're going to go to George, and then you're going to Fancourt.
Yeah, right? I'm flying to George, Gareth. Flying to George is great because you only go there for good reasons. You don't go there for, like, shitty work or whatever. So no. Flying in, and then it's all of, like, a six-minute drive, and then you're at Fancourt. So I'm getting picked up in a fancy car. So, yeah, I'm going to the world's biggest amateur golf tournament, basically. So over 46 different countries. 100,000 participants, and it all culminates in this grand final, which is where I'm going.
So for those of us who've never been to Fancourt, try and describe it to us. You've been there before. You drive through these enormous gates, and you're what? You're in paradise?
So you know what Michael Jackson tried to create for children?
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Fancourt's bad for adults with golf and just being in a great place. Like, you go through the gates, and then you look around, you go, this is fantastic. And you don't really have to leave. So I'm playing golf all 3 days. There's massive functions. So, yeah, it's the BMW World Final. So there's fancy cars, there's fancy people. It's, yeah, the business.
Sounds wonderful. And are you going to be playing golf or just watching?
So I play today at 12:30. I just met my host now, so he's very excited. He hasn't been there in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow morning we play, and then tomorrow I get to chat with Gary. We'll discussion, and then Friday I chat to Gary. Thursday I play the Montague course, and then the Lynx is the final day.
Nice.
Which is the best course in the country.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit nervous. My hand, like, it's just really, really heavy. I can't travel light anymore. Ever since I want to try and make videos, I'm that guy with, like, 17 straps around his neck. It's really embarrassing.
But you have to take your clubs as well, right?
Yeah, so the clubs go in, you check that in, and then my hand luggage, I was just told by the person who thinks East London people are unruly, mm-hmm. but my hand luggage might be a bit heavy.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to run the gauntlet now and see how it comes out.
Well, try to get on the plane early, then you can take up some of that space in the cabin storage above your head.
Yeah, that's exactly my plan. I'm standing here at the gate already.
I can hear those bells. All right, so what can you tell us?
Well, Gareth, I can't tell you a hell of a lot. This woman's obviously killing my vibe right now. I mean, no shit. Don't leave your luggage unattended. Why must they always say this crap?
I know. I don't even know why they bother with those announcements. And they're always loud. And there's always someone who talks like this really close to the microphone and drowns out everything else.
Will your British passengers please come to the front of the queue at C7?
I can't escape it. I'm violating the exact rule this woman's talking about. I'm leaving unattended baggage. I can't come back.
What I want to ask you is about the cricket yesterday. Is there any blowback from what happened between de Kock and Warner?
Yes, there's been demerit points handed out. So Quinton de Kock got one demerit point. Trevor Warner, I think, got two. If you get four of these, then you miss a match. Hmm. So the ICC has officially recognized that there was misbehavior. But now, on the back of all of this, obviously people are investigating who Trevor Warner's wife is, and people are making songs. It's getting quite nasty in that respect because, you know, you don't want the woman to be, you know, victimized here. I mean, that's the last thing you want. David Warner is the real doer here. But now his wife's been brought into it. So Friday, we could see some very colorful signs being thrown out in the PE stadium. I saw one sign last night that read, David Warner, can Sonny Bill borrow your box again? Which, it's all obviously crass cricket humor, but it gets a bit close to the bone when an innocent bystander is brought in. So it's going to be fiery, Gareth. I think the UN may be called in come Saturday, the way things are going to topple over on this incident.
It's hilarious. All right, Ben, let's let you get going, and we'll talk to you when you're in Fancourt tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so I'll just have to see a part of the show, and then we can, I'll have much more to talk about tomorrow.
All right, cool. Thanks, Ben. There we go. Ben,
right, guys, with
not much sport, but just enough for this morning, and we're going to hand over to Sia for Said by Sia this morning. What do you got for us today?
Well, it's three cheers for modern technology this morning.
Why?
Because Australia's doing some amazing work to eliminate cervical cancer.
Oh.
Experts are working hard down under, and they say that Australia is likely to become the first country to effectively eliminate cervical cancer, expected within just the next 40 years.
Nice.
Now, the latest research shows that there's been a dramatic decline in the rates of the human papillomavirus. HPV, there we go. The infection that causes 99.9% of cervical cancers due to the effectiveness of the HPV vaccine. Among Australian women alone, aged between 18 to 24 years old, the HPV rate has dropped from 22.7% to just 1.1% over the last 10 years. Look at what they're doing. Now, this is all according to research recently published in the Journal of Infectious Diseases. So before the vaccination program, almost all sexually active people had contracted HPV. Now, because of the vaccine's success, the International Papillomavirus Society has for the first time outlined in a statement that cervical cancer could soon be eliminated as a public health problem. So look at that. Thank you so much to all of those medical professionals who are working hard at this. And in the next 30 to 40 years, the rates of cervical cancer will be going down even more. So that's some good news, thanks to modern science, for Said by Sia this morning.
Very good. Well, that's terrific news for everyone. That's good news for women who've been dealing with this over thousands of years, for all we know, but certainly it's been a prominent disease. It's cost people their lives. It's cost people a lot of misery, and now finally we've got a way of dealing with this for once and for all. You see, if we can eliminate cervical cancer, can you imagine how that'll give us a foothold to start working on all the others?
And this one, they've done.
Well, this one is prevent. You can. It's preventable, right, Mubs? I mean, this human papillomavirus, it can only be spread in certain ways. And if you get the checkups and you make sure that you're in the clear and you do all the right things,
yeah,
you can usually prevent it. Or am I missing the point?
Well, I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not going to stake my claim on any of that.
You're not a medical doctor? What are you doing here? It's madness. All right. There we go. So there's some interesting and positive info from Sia this morning. Lots more to come. Plenty for us to talk about today, and your thoughts, your calls, your messages. You can WhatsApp us on 0797482090, and if you would like to call, 0861555189. Those are the two numbers you can dial if you want to get hold of us this morning. There is quite a lot of news around the shooting in Randburg, and I don't know if you heard the police spokesperson, but this is what she had to say. Let me play this for you
quickly. Today at about 10 o'clock, our members received a complaint at Oak Street saying that there are people, plus minus 20 people, who are standing on the street, of which it's not normal for them because the street is normally empty. And they called the police, come to a scene. When they came here, they found that the suspect, four suspects, with three with rifles and one pistol, entered Randburg Coins, where they were going to do a cash in transit. When the police arrived there, the suspect has already left with the bags, anonymous numbers of bags from Randburg Coins, and one suspect has been shot by the securities and has passed away, but no one from the police and the securities was shot.
Now, that's Tagalani Matumba, who's the police spokesperson for the Randburg Police. I think she needs a spokesperson. Not the greatest communicator in the world, but you heard the story. So one of the suspects was shot by the security company, not by the police, and died on the scene. Too bad, right?
Really, I don't feel bad at all. And when you look at the footage, well, not, I'm really not being insensitive, but the shooter's just standing there. He's not even trying to duck.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even trying to get some get up that'll keep him safe.
So you watched the video?
He was wearing shorts. So what were you expecting happen? You're
very
standing
chilled
in the middle of the road, wearing shorts and slobs. You're not even ducking behind a car as you shoot.
So how would you have advised him, Sia, from your being shot at experience. It's too bad Ben is not here because he's the only one
who has been
shot.
But come on, haven't you watched enough Tom Cruise movies to know?
This is a problem. You are
wearing Kevlar.
You're thinking this is a movie. This is real life.
But hide behind the car as you shoot. You know, he was standing in the middle of the road. Guy's over.
The even bigger question is, what do you do when you suddenly find yourself in a shootout incident like that? Because I don't know if you noticed in the video, people screaming, saying, move away from the windows, move away from the windows. Now, even though these guys were quite high above where the shooting was happening below them, but still, what would your natural instinct be if you suddenly heard gunshots and there's a lot of them, one after the other?
Well,
what are you supposed to do?
Get down.
Yes.
Stop, drop, and roll. Shit, has nobody... Don't you remember that stuff from like primary school? They say, stop, drop, and roll.
Well, that's for fire, but okay.
Get out of there. Listen, stop, drop, and roll works for everything. Don't give me that. If you're in a situation where you can stop, drop, and roll, you're usually safer than the people who don't. And going up next to the window with your cell phone filming it, do you know how easily bullets can fly around? And a bullet will reach you. You could be on the third, fourth floor. It'll reach you easily.
People catch stray bullets all the
time.
Imagine if you were on the road.
Yeah.
Whether you were just walking or you were driving past and this happens,
mm-hmm.
How do you stop, drop, and roll in your car?
What if you're just driving past? Yeah, yes. I mean, like you're on your way to a meeting. Mm. I've been down Oak Avenue for a meeting a couple of times. You used to go to Mnet there all the time.
Mm. You'd probably feel just a little bit more protected if you were driving past. Yes, imagine if you were a pedestrian just crossing the street and then all of a sudden, bullets.
You're damn right. Mm. So what do you do?
I get well acquainted with the flower beds around.
Get out of here, right?
Dive straight into the flowers.
Get out of here.
There's nothing else.
Jesus.
And I couldn't understand, if you watch the footage as well, there's mm-hmm. this white Ford.
Yeah.
And the shooter, I don't know whether the shooter was trying to hijack that car.
If you don't know what was happening, there were 200,000 amateur crime and investigation people who were on it. Suddenly the whole of Twitter became a CSI channel. This one is saying, no, the shooting came from here. Other one is like, no, it went there. Yeah, like they were all on the scene, they can tell. You got a sound expert who's saying, I can hear the bullets coming from the right to the left.
Someone actually made the video into slow-mo.
Oh my God.
And started to like time code everything. No, if you look at from 25 seconds.
Well, apparently the Oscars, a disaster. Nobody was really interested. Ratings at an all-time low. If the Oscars ratings carry on in this direction, soon the only people watching it will be the people in the audience.
I now only ever... PVR has spoiled me, so I now never watch anything unless it's recorded so that I can fast forward.
Did you hear that apparently Jeffrey Rush...
It was too long.
Jeffrey Rush, they were trying to not give him the Oscar because one of his three ex-wives says he was once abusive to her. It's almost as if the Oscars has become some kind of an AA group for women who've had bad relationships and for women to share their stories about horrible men. And no one's going to watch that. No one. And no one should.
But haven't the ratings for award shows been dropping over the years anyway?
I think
people are just bored of watching, you know, Hollywood and their...
Well, this is it, and they're not entertaining.
Their sense of egos stroking each other all on one night. And
well, I've got some things to play for you about that. That's coming up just now. Lots of things that may make you think about Hollywood and their role in the world and whether or not that role is starting to wane, whether or not people are starting to look elsewhere for inspiration and for entertainment.
Of course, President Trump tweeted about this.
Of course.
And he said something along the lines of, yeah, the Oscars, the lowest rated ever. And then Jimmy Kimmel, who hosted the Oscars this year, tried to sum up some sort of response. And he says, well, thank you from the lowest rated president. Come on.
Jimmy's lost it. I don't know when Jimmy decided to abandon being a funny man and become a cuck, but he's there.
he's a cuck.
Not cuck, K-A-K, cuck, C-U-C-K, as in a man who lets another man have his wife. Jimmy Kimmel has been de-balled over the last couple of years. He's given in to pressure from Hollywood and from a whole lot of just very bad ideas, and he just no longer makes me laugh. I see him crying all the time on his show. He's a pussy. I do not need to watch people like that. There are enough of them in the world. I can find them in the shop across the road here. If I want to find weak people, there's a multitude to choose from. If I'm watching television, I'd like to be entertained. Just try to be funny. Do that and I'll watch you. And the Oscars are not funny anymore. But we'll get to that just now. That's all on the way. You know how to get hold of us. Let's hear what you have to say.
This is CliffCentral.com.